If your horse is a non-runner, you can get money back on all Cheltenham Festival races. Paddy Power.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Road to Cheltenham. I don't know about you, but racing is really the only thing that is keeping me sane at the moment. Well, sane-ish. And luckily, I have a partner in crime to obsess about racing with me, and that's Ruby Walsh. Ruby, how are you?
I'm good, Lydia. Back in lockdown like yourselves, but sure, c'est la vie. Hopefully, it won't be for too long.
Let's talk about racing, shall we? And we had Al Boom Photo Day on the 1st of January. It was great to see him back at Tramore. But before we reflect on what he achieved, I've got a question for you. And that is it important to know what distance a horse is running over?
The exact distance, probably not. In or around, you know, it's... I don't know. I never really looked at it that way, Lydia. I look at Tramore and think that's almost 2.6 there, thereabouts. And that's the race, that's the distance he's running over. I'm not sure. Maybe on the flat, on an all-weather surface where it is can be an exact science. But on turf, so what's to say? One fella going wide and one fella going down the inside. How do you know how far either have raced?
Aren't you underestimating what those people who can crunch numbers can do in terms of making sense of performances and times? And, you know, they say that this information is important to them. And, you know, it is possible in this day and age to get your course professionally surveyed and to be able to declare the distance of a race to the yard.
I probably am underestimating what those people do. It's probably not information that I ever really took on board myself, but that's only my preference. I might look at the odd time of a novice to see if he ran quick, but I tended to judge older horses on what my eyes told me. And professionally surveyed, yeah, that's fine. You can do that, of course you can. But that's providing you're going to race on the same line most of the time. And a lot of the tracks in Ireland would differ greatly from the ones in the UK in how much they do move rails and vary to provide the best racing surface, best racing surface possible. And they might move a bit of rail, not all of it. They don't have set lines and set tracks. You could go to Punchestown today and be on the inside line for part of it and be moved to the outside line for the next part of the race. So Irish tracks do vary an awful lot more than the UK ones.
Couldn't you survey those so that you know, you could declare what line you're on? I mean, it's just a case of appreciating part of your audience. I mean, it seems to me just good business sense. You know, part of your audience say they want this information. Why would you ignore it?
Part of your audience do. I don't know why you ignore it. It's most definitely not up to me to ignore it or take it on board. But I don't think it's quite as simplistic as you're making it. You can survey a line, but you may have to survey in Punchestown 40 lines. Between all the tracks they would use and the variations they would use. In Tramore, there's three separate trace lines, and that's what you're talking about. But they wouldn't use the whole of a certain line. They might use half the inside line and then move them to the outside line. And I think lots of tracks in Ireland just vary, and that's why a bout, as big an irk as it is to some people, has always and will always be in the distance. But to me, the only comparison I ever made with times were to a similar race on the very same day. Like Al Boom Photo versus the last race in Tramore, two races that were run over the same track, on the same ground, on the same day. And to me, in jump racing, that has always been the only comparison you could factually make.
Okay, let's leave the conversation there. Let's have a look at Al Boom Photo running over about 2 mile, 5 furlongs and 100 yards, more like 2 mile, 6 furlongs and 64 yards. What did you make of his performance?
I thought it was not brilliant to the eye watching it. I think I had to reflect on it before I appreciated what he may or may not have done. But we watched him, he jumped off. It was a really strongly run race. Jingle went a good gallop. If you think that Acapella Bourgeois is normally a front runner or races quite close to the pace, he wasn't in any way keen behind Jingle. So Jingle went a really good gallop. I thought Al Boom Photo was quite high at the first, almost over jumped it. And then we went to the second fence and we lost Brahma Bull, who barely got off the ground and got rid of David Mullins. But Jingle set a really good gallop. And I think when you get to the sixth fence, you can see the spread on the field, the distance from Jingle in front to Acapella to Brahma to Al Boom Photo to the other horse in the race who's out the back. But Jingle only went for 2 miles or thereabouts, a little over 2 miles before he gave in. But as he gave in, Acapella Bourgeois took it off him and he didn't slow down. Danny Mullins kept the pressure on all the way up the hill, jumped the third last, And at the back of the third last, he seemed to have Paul Townend in a bit of trouble. Paul's body language didn't tell you, oh, I'm running away, I have Acapella Bourgeois covered here. He seemed to be squeezing and niggling to keep up with Acapella Bourgeois. But when they got into the dip and met the rising ground, Al Boone's superior stamina kicked in. He jumped the second last and got to the front. And the distance he put between himself and Acapella Bourgeois from the last home was rather telling. I mean, he's only 3 or 4 lengths, maybe 5 in front of him going to the last. He ends up beating him 19. So what did we learn? We know he's alive. We know he's well. And I think he's run pretty much the same as he did last year, or maybe even a little bit with it.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing is the way that you described that, the way the race panned out. It was almost like an athletic world record-breaking endeavour, wasn't it? Where one athlete stepped out at the 2-2-mile marker and the next pacemaker took over. So it was a proper end-to-end gallop. But the thing about we know about Albin Foto from last year's Gold Cup is he can do it both ways. He can stay really strongly, but he can also deal with a steadily run race.
He can, but I think, and I said it at the time, I think Paul Townend's manoeuvre, along with Nico de Bonneville, both were aware they were riding stairs. They really got the Gold Cup set at a light, plenty far out. They got racing at the top of the hill on the new course in Cheltenham, and they brought stamina into play. And the two strongest stairs, being Albin Foto and Santini, were first and second home. So you can counteract the slow gallop by injecting pace a long way from home to make it a staying contest. And that's what they did in last year's Gold Cup. It surprised me that Albin could win a slowly run one. I thought he was a real strong stare, but I think he still deserves to be favourite. Now, why he was cutting price, I'm not so sure. Maybe it's because Santini's been beaten a couple of times this year and nothing else has jumped out of the pack to take him on. We haven't seen champ Manila Indo fell. Therefore, what looks like the most likeliest winner in the Gold Cup is probably Albin Foto.
I can understand them cutting it. Maybe I can't understand that how short he was already before he was trimmed as a result of, you know, turning up, not falling, winning in the end, you know, as impressively as last season. Now, is there any chance? I mean, everyone is making positive noises about Irish horses being able to come over to Cheltenham. William Mullins has been quoted saying that they're proceeding as if that is definitely happening and it's only a problem when it becomes a problem. But is there any chance that running plans for trainers for certain horses, such as Albin Foto, might change and that, for instance, they might be more interested in the Dublin Racing Festival?
I think, I'm not so sure with Albin Foto. I think Willie will go the same road as he's always gone and will plan in a positive way that he will get to Cheltenham or Albin Foto will get to Cheltenham and that will happen. I personally tend to agree with him. I think it's 10 weeks away and a lot will happen with the lockdowns we're in, that we will be in a different place in hopefully 6 weeks' time, let alone 10 weeks' time. So I can see why people would plan that way. I think maybe HRI might have to look at it to have a plan in place for after Cheltenham if something goes wrong. But I think between now and then, most people will definitely plan as if it's on.
Okay, so that is the champion, Albin Foto, back. And he is now, of course, bidding to equal Best Mate's 3 consecutive Gold Cup wins in March. We've got the entries for the Gold Cup. And Ruby, I'm just going to give you a few headlines. And also today, the entries for the Ryanair and the Queen Mother Champion Chase came out. So there are 41 in the Magnus Gold Cup, including the first 7 from last year and the first 4 in the RSA. So it's a proper clash of generations. The same with the Champion Chase and the Arkell. Politolog, the winner from last year, is there, but 6 who contested the Arkell are also in the Betway Queen Mother Champion Chase. The Ryanair has got 50 entries, and that's the most since 2008, including last year's 1-2. And they're taking on 6 potential graduates from the Marsh Novices Chase. Altior is entered in the Ryanair as well as the Champion Chase for the first time. Sam Crowe, Waiting Patiently, are entered in all 3. Frodon is only in the Gold Cup, but Imperial Aura is not just in the Ryanair, for which he's second favourite. He's also in the Gold Cup. None of the elite novice chasers, Shishkin, Envoy Alan or Monkfish, are entered against the more established stars. But Royal Pagai, who ran at Kempton over the Christmas period, is in the Gold Cup. And Chatham Street Lad is in the Ryanair and the Champion Chase. No Thistlecrack in the Gold Cup, no Clan des Oboes as expected. And neither Fahine nor Duvan holds any entries at all in any of those 3 races. What from all of those headlines hits you?
Nothing over jumps out at me, Lydia, I suppose.
Altior?
Yeah, he's in there, but can I see him running in the Ryanair? No, I can't. I think he'll run in the Queen Mother Champion Chase or the Betway Champion Chase, whatever it is. No, I can see why people didn't enter the novices. I don't think any of those 3 races looks weak. Therefore, why would you go with a novice when you can line up in your novice race and take them on hopefully next year? There's a couple of novices in there. Chatham Street Lad, And what was the other one you mentioned?
Royal Pagai from Kempton.
Royal Pagai, I think he has to probably improve the most. But I've always been there. I'm not just changing my tune sitting here today. I have always believed when you have a novice running in the novice race, because you can only run in that once. You can run the Gold Cup or the other races every other year. You only get one chance at a novice. So that is why I would be heading that way. And no, look, and I think I would also always be a believer in the entry is the cheapest way in. Put them in. You never know what's going to happen to the opposition. Enter them and then have a look. But to think the Gold Cup could cut up and have to supplement in 4 weeks' time with horses going by the wayside or whatever may or may not happen, I would always err on the side of caution and stick them in. You can always take them out.
Yes, absolutely. So Royal Pagai and Chatham Street Lad could both end up in the Marsh Novices Chase taking on Envoy Allen.
Yeah, but it's take on Min and a couple of others in the Ryanair, so it's no easy option for either of them.
Absolutely.
Take on Envoy Allen with only two runs over fences, maybe a third run, or go and take on hardened Grade 1 horses like Min. I know where I'd be going as big a fan and all as I am of Envoy Allen's. I think it's more likely something could go wrong for him.
No argument here. Right, so those are our thoughts on Album Photo. We've now got our special guest, so we can ask him about this too. I'm delighted to say we're now joined by friend of the show, Patrick Mullins. You'll remember him, well, you see him all the time riding, obviously, but you remember him from the show being a guest at in the last series, and now he joins us again. Patrick, how are you?
A little cold this morning, Lydia, but other than that, very well.
Good to hear. I'm going to gallop you through some thoughts about the yard, a question from our viewers as well, but the obvious place to start is obviously Album Photo. How has he come out of his return?
He's come out of the race fantastic. Like a lot of our horses from Christmas, they're coming out bucking and kicking. Paul Roach, who rides him out every day, is very happy with him. You know, it was a true run race. They went a very strong gallop. It was heavy ground. It was a good length of a race as well. And, you know, he didn't lose very much weight and he's come out of it very well. So we were pleasantly surprised.
And is there any temptation to go to the Irish Gold Cup with the background doubt about Cheltenham?
Look, you know, Willie, he'll get an entry anyway. And he was meant to run the Irish Gold Cup the first year, and then we didn't because of the ground. And then obviously when he won the Gold Cup, we said we wouldn't change the preparation he had because we've been trying for 20 years and we never got it right. So I would imagine it's doubtful that Willie will change what has worked, but it will be, he'll get an entry, I'm sure.
And looking back over the excellent Christmas that you had, is there anything that you've reflected on and as a team changed your mind on or learned or placed particular emphasis on?
I suppose appreciated showing what he did over 2 miles was a nice surprise. He probably is more of a stayer, and the ground was very slow that day and it did go a strong gallop. But there are conditions that you might get as three novices as well. So we were pleasantly surprised with how he performed. Now, look, Ballyadam bombed out. So was it really a Grade 1 race after that? Maybe not, but he couldn't do any more than he did. Shaq and Bursois, it was great to see him do as well as he did. And I suppose Alaho was disappointing. I don't think that's not really him. Paul thought he didn't travel or jump the way he can. So we're going to have to go back to the drawing board with him a little bit. And then Mellon obviously was a nice surprise as well. I rode him like he'd stay. And, you know, watching the replay back, I'm kind of thinking, Jesus, watching the replay wasn't how it felt riding him. I think if we win the second last, we still might have won. My read on the race is that everyone got caught up following Alaho after Manila Indo fell. And Alaho hasn't been going or travelling, and they've been dragged out of the race. And my view on the race is that a Plutard has had to come and get us, as opposed to Mellon and Kenboy falling in a hole. So a Plutard, I think, is probably going to be the biggest danger to Album Photo in my book. He was the one of other people's horses that I really took out of the Christmas.
Yeah, I was nodding away to that. So would you quite fancy riding Mellon in the Ryanair after the Irish Gold Cup?
I would. Look, I suppose, to me, his biggest asset of offences is his jumping. He makes an awful lot of ground in the air. The ground he made down the back straight in Leopardstown, he made in the air. I wasn't sending him on in between the fences. So if you're trying to conserve that over 3 mile two, are you giving away his best asset? Possibly. Whereas in the Ryanair, you know, you see a lot of horses, they get into a rhythm. There's so many jumps in Cheltenham that if you're in a rhythm out in front, jumping well, it's very hard for a horse to catch you. Whereas that's not the case in Leopardstown. There's only two fences in the last half mile. So, look, we'll have to see what Willie does. But I think the Ryanair would maybe utilise his strengths best.
And you're looking forward to a rematch with Epatant in the champion hurdle on Sharjah?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But we have to have a rematch with Honeysuckle first in the Irish champion hurdle. So, yeah, look, he was electric in Leopardstown. Look, he has his off days. I think that's probably why he goes under the radar. He has his days where he doesn't, you know, I somehow got him beaten in an amateur handicap in Galway this year. But on his day, he's as good as anything that's around. And my thing was, last year we had quite a big field in champion hurdle and dropped out. It just puts you a bit further back than maybe you'd like to be. And then when Petit Mouchoir went on, Davar started and follow him, you know, it could have been a stronger gallop. So in a smaller field with a stronger gallop, does that bring him into it more? I'd like to think it does.
So you've identified Appreciate It as at the fore of your 2 mile novice hurdlers. How about around the 2.5 mile division? Gaillard du Menil looked pretty good, built on his seasonal debut.
Yeah, he was hugely impressive. They went a very strong gallop in that race. So he obviously stays very well. He improved a lot from his first run. But, you know, Henry's horse who beat him that day might be very good as well. And then obviously this weekend we have the grade one novice hurdle, the Lawler's novice hurdle. So Blue Lord is our runner in that. We were very impressed with him in Punchestown because we thought he might need the run. And, you know, he beat a horse in Mags's who ran very well in Cheltenham Bumper. So that looks strong form. We think he can step up from that. We'll know more after this weekend.
And how about your 3 mile novice hurdlers? Because I'm really scratching my head at this side of the Irish Sea about, you know, where we are with that. How about you?
Yeah, at the moment, I suppose it's maybe a little bare on that side of things.
Statler, maybe?
Statler was very good in Leopardstown. He does want a trip. I was actually surprised at him in Leopardstown. I thought he should go to Limerick. I thought he's a real heavy ground slogger. So again, he was one that pleasantly surprised us that he could handle the drier ground in Leopardstown over 2.5. And that was a strong race, a lot of depth in it. So he's one that could step up. He settles very well, which is a huge asset to have over those 3 mile novice hurdles.
And how about your novice mares? Is Gauloise at the top of the pack at the moment?
I suppose she is. You know, she was very good in Thurles. Again, Mick Winter's mare didn't perform, so, you know, the form mightn't be as strong as it could be, but she's improving all the time. And then I wouldn't forget Finest Evermore. I know she got beaten the last day, but she probably ran a bit keen in front, didn't jump as well as she could. She's still very good as well. She wears it well. It's probably not going to make Cheltenham, which is a pity, because she's, you know, she has as much ability as either of the other two mares. So
what's happened to her, Patrick? What's happened with She Wears It Well?
She had a bit of a setback there. She missed the Royal Bond, and you know, it's going to be tight for Cheltenham. So you know, it's not going to be definite that she'll make it. So we'll have to see. But
okay. While we're talking about the negative, sorry to go on to a negative point. Faheen and Duvan, neither are entered in anything in the three entries that have come out. We've had the Gold Cup, the Ryanair, and the Queen Mother Champion Chase entries. Does that say that Cheltenham is a complete write-off, even in terms of a supplementary, and you're aiming for Punchestown?
Yeah, look, they both had setbacks. Faheen is in the yard. He got clipped during the week. He's in training, but is Cheltenham, you know, with his profile going to be tough? If it comes about, great. But I suppose Willie thought at the moment it's probably unlikely. And Duvan is in pre-training. He's coming back from another setback. So again, you know, it's at this stage, it's looking unlikely, yeah.
Such a shame with Duvan. I remember you saying before, he's the one with, you know, all of his great talent and he's never got to express it fully.
Yeah, I think I've been very lucky to sit on some very good horses, and I just think he's a different species. I remember my father saying to me once that Desert Orchard wasn't the best horse at the time. He was just the soundest, and I didn't really understand it. And I do think he'd probably be a bit harsh as well, but yeah. I understand it now. I understand what he's trying to say, that, you know, it's no good having the ability. You need to be sound for several years as well to get the, you know, his race record doesn't really reflect how good a horse he was.
Okay, so Patrick, I'm going to end up with a question from one of our viewers, and it comes from Damien Murray, and he asks...
Hi, Lady and Ruby. I'd like to know how Willie Mullins has set up his gallop differently this year. As I saw, he mentioned in an interview after Leperstown recently.
Oh, geez. Every year he changes something a little bit. Like we wall up the horses slightly different now than we used to. We have been able to... We used to have a little bend in our gallop because we didn't own a small bit of land. So there was a bit of a kind of Monte Carlo chicane around this piece of land that we didn't own. We now were able to buy it last year. So now the gallop is more like a running track. Whether it makes a difference or not, I don't know. But it was something we've always wanted to do, and the opportunity to come up to get the land. It was a very small field. It was just the way things were built way back when, you know, resources weren't fantastic or as good as they are now. And now we have the gallop, I suppose, with one less bend is all.
Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose it's very hard to get a handle on what, if any, difference that has made.
That's it. It's I suppose we're hoping maybe you might get slightly less injuries. Maybe it might make the gallop less maintenance. It's just the running track shape is the ideal we wanted, I suppose.
Yeah, it makes sense, absolutely. Well, Patrick, thank you very much for answering all of those questions. Thank you so much for sparing the time. Good luck to you and Willie and the rest of the team for the rest of the season. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Lydia.
So thank you to Patrick Mullins for his information there, and we will take it into account. But we've also got our own views, and we, of course, promised you at the last edition that we would focus this week on Albin Photo, but also on the novice hurdlers. So, Ruby, we're going to go down them in each division, and we're going to start with the two-mile novices hurdlers. And let's have a look at the betting for the Sky Bet Supreme. Again, we're looking at it through the prism of the Cheltenham races, because they're the ones that are priced up, and it gives us an idea of the horses that are coming towards the four in each division. And one that very much announced itself over the Christmas period, underlined the previous form, was Appreciate It for Willie Mullins.
Yeah, he did. Look, I kind of thought through the summer and into the early autumn that he would be a 2.5 mile horse. To look at him physically, he's so big, he's so strong, and he won a 2.5 mile bumper. But that said, he also won a 2 mile bumper at the Dublin Racing Festival last year. And I suppose with the demise of, or the injury to, Fernie Hollow, Appreciate It became Willie Mullins' number one in the 2 mile grade one at Leperstown at Christmas. And he delivered. He lined up Paul Townend, was riding him like he wanted a really good gallop. He lined him up very handily and jumped out in front, but Fire Attack took it off him quite quickly. Now, at the first hurdle, he didn't jump like a 2 miler. He was quite high up in the air and spent, he wasn't slow, but he jumped up a bit bigger than you'd want him to jump. At the fourth hurdle, when Paul gave him the squeeze, he kind of put down and changed his mind. But by the time we got to the sixth, which was the last, he jumped it really slickly. And he had Bally Adam under a lot of pressure a long way out. And I think what really impressed me was as they drifted across the track to bypass the last hurdle, the gears he showed. He looked to open up and really sprint from the last hurdle home, and he looked a real horse that has no problem coping with 2 miles.
The Supreme and the Ballymore are sort of two sides of the same coin in many ways. You need to stay strongly to the 2 miles in a Supreme, usually, don't you? And you need to have pace for the Ballymore for 2 mile 5.
Yeah, I always found that the Supreme was more of a just one gear race. It was jump out and it tended to be flat out all the way, and the one that kept going the best would win. Whereas in the Ballymore, you needed to have the pace to hold a decent position, but you had to be able to quicken up then to go and win. So I couldn't see either not suiting Appreciated, but having dropped him back, I would think Willie Mullins would be slow to stepping back up.
And I think he got a really good start in life as well, that run at Cork, where he ran into Master McShay, and, you know, that horse was used as in target practice in many ways for Appreciate to come in and pick it off. Are there any flaws that you see in Appreciate? Anything that makes you worried?
No, he just would want him to be jumping as slickly as he did. I mean, if you dwell in the air at the first in the Supreme, you go from being in the first three to second rank, and then you have, I know, plenty of horses in front of you. But he will have another run, and it's just to get him down out of the air and get him slicker through the air. But that will come with practice. He's only a novice, and he'd love the way he improved throughout the race in Leperstown when he's jumping.
Now, Zanahir eclipsed Bally Adam when they ran over the same course and distance on the same day earlier on in the season. But this was not Bally Adam at all behind Appreciate It, was it? He just looked flat to me.
He did, but some of Gordon's did run that way at Christmas, which he said himself. But he looked to be in trouble a long way from home. And even there and at the fourth last hurdle, Paul Townend looked to be going so much easier than Jack Kennedy.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely blown away. So you just have to be looking at Ballyadam to bounce back. Let's go over to Britain and pick up one of Harry Fry's. You've picked out Metier, the Tolworth winner.
Yeah, I did. And look, we picked him up at the start and Sean Bowen dropped him in to take his time, shake him up. Harry and Daryl Jacob jumped out and went a really good gallop. Good jump. Second hurdle, he was really slick at the second hurdle, Metier. The third hurdle, Sean gives him a squeeze and he pings it. By the time we get to the fifth hurdle, you can see just how sped out the race is. But when they turn in and head up to the second last, Metier arrives on the inside, travelling really well, and shake him up. Harry is flat to the boards. But I think what impressed me most, Lydia, was what he did from the back of the last home. I remember being injured one year and trying to pick which novice I would ride in the Supreme, and I came down on Nolan's side watching him from the back of the last to the line in the Tolworth. And Metier definitely reminded me of that. When Sean Bowen gave him a slap behind the saddle, how he quickened up and attacked the hill and ran at the winning post. And that was the most impressive part of his Tolworth performance for me.
That's why you like Stargate's win, wasn't it, at Sandown earlier in the...
Yeah, it was. I just like horses. Sandown is stiff and tough, and you watch most horses slow down. So when you can see one quicken for the back of the last, it always takes my eye.
Now, Harry Fry is thinking about potentially running in the Betfair Hurdle. This is referring to last week. Remember when you pointed out the novices?
I do, but I think that's a bigger issue in English racing, Lydia. I think if you're going to win what he won for winning a Grade 1 Tolworth, and you're on a relatively good mark for a Betfair Handicap Hurdle, prize money-wise, unfortunately, it makes sense for novices to be plundering big handicaps rather than winning the Grade 1s.
Well, he's in a mark on 1.149. The weights are published next Wednesday and they incorporate form up to and including this Sunday. And the winners thereafter that will get a £5 penalty. Now, I asked Andrew Milor, who's the team leader for BHA Handicapping Over Hurdles, where the cutoff point is likely to be. And he said that getting into the race over the last 5 years, it's averaged at 1.28. But only 5 or 6 of the 49 entered are currently rated less than that. So he suspects it's going to be higher this time around. Last year it was 130. It might even be higher than that.
Yeah, look, and the higher it is, the better chance it gives Metier, because the less weight he will have to give away. 149 is, yeah, pretty high mark. But when you're going for that prize money, if you're hoping he could win a Supreme, you'd be hoping he's a high 150s horse, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. So Harry Fryer's got the choice to make. Does he go to the Betfair Hurdle with a novice? And three novices who finished second in the Supreme have won the Novices Hurdle. 7, I think, have won in the last 11 years at Newbury. So the likes of My Ten to Yours, Get Me Out of Here, Kalashnikov have gone on to finish second in the Supreme.
Ain't he ever go on and win it?
No.
Why is that?
Don't know. Usually because Willie Mullins is running one.
It's worth thinking about, though.
What do you think it is? You think it's the exertion?
Could be. I don't know. But it's, you're on about facts and exacts and things earlier in the show. There's a fact for you.
It is. It is. How do you statistise it, if that is even a word? I'm going to move on. Boot Hill. This is the stable companion of Metier. This horse I really liked from just before Christmas, and I just wanted to introduce him to this division. Let's have a look at his run at Taunton. You see there from the head-on shots that he's really quite keen in the early stages, and they're anxious to get some cover on him. And he does settle down. He starts to travel strongly. You can see that once they get to about the fifth. And then on the home turn, you know, you can see that he is, again, travelling really strongly. And the race goes from there being, you know, 4 in contention on the whole home turn to, as they turn into the straight, he has basically won the race. And then I really like the way he's come away from the last and extended really strongly. And comparatively, it's a really good time. And if you look at that horse that's turned in front across the line, he was a winner previously. He's since come out and won again. So it's not that there's not loads of different interconnecting form lines, but that looks like a very solid performance. The problem is he's had a splint. Now, what is that, Ruby, and how quickly can you recover?
A bone growth, isn't it? Usually it's where bone grows on the outside of bone, usually in a cannon bone, on their shin usually. It settles down. Some horses, it's a growing thing really. It can settle down quite quickly once the pain goes out of it and you can work on again. It's just whereabouts on the cannon bone it is would decipher how long it'll take to heal up. Again, I'm not a vet, but it shouldn't take that long. And I did like the way he went to the line as well in Taunton, which is a fast track and can often be a hard place to win by big distances in competitive races.
Harry's hoping to get him to the Sydney Banks, the race that Shishkin won en route to the Supreme.
Well, that would suggest he's making a pretty quick recovery.
Okay, so that's our thoughts about the 2 mile division as things stand. So let's move on to the 2.5 mile novice hurdlers. Again, we're going to look at it through the prism of the Ballymore novices hurdle betting at Cheltenham. And another horse that has very much put his stamp on this division over the Christmas New Year period is Brave Man's Game. And this registered very high, Ruby, with Paul Nichols, his trainer, on the Denman Illusion. We had 5 mentions of Denman post-race.
I said Paul Nichols would love to have another Denman, and if he's found one, fair play to him. But Brave Man's Game, he was very good, Lydia. He obviously jumped out and it looked like David Bass was going to make the running on Does He Know? But Brave Man's Game winged by him at the first hurdle and then that set the race up from there. But as we got around to the 5th hurdle, if you just look at Brave Man's Game, look at David Bass and Does He Know? Watch his hands. He's taking him. David Bass spots a stride 3-4 strides away. And when he lets go of Does He Know his head, he just ducks out by the wing on him. And you're thinking, why did you do that, horse? You could say David Bass should have had his whip in his left hand, but he hadn't looked at the hurdle beforehand. And I don't even think if he had his whip in his left hand, it was going to make any difference. He went out that quickly. But then he goes back in and jumps the next hurdle loose. So whatever came over, Does He Know? I'm not really sure. But that made it definitely a bit easier for Brave Man's Game. But to watch him to the second last himself, his 2 ears are pricked, he's loads in the tank, jumped the second last, same going to the last hurdle with his 2 ears pricked, and he's gone away and won really well when Harry Cobden grabbed the hold of him after the last. It was a really good performance, but Challo Winners, what sort of a record do they have going forward?
Yeah, I know. I never like to get hung up by a particular statistic like that. I would want to know why that would be, and I can't see a good reason why that would be. I think you're right to point out that the race did fall apart a little bit in his wake. This Dan Skelton horse also appeared to go wrong after wrapping 4 out. But that said, this does look like a like how nimble he is for a big horse.
Yeah, the second last really shows that, how quick he was at it. And even very early in the race, you can see him doing it as well. The 3rd hurdle, I think it was, where he gets in close and he's very fast through it and over the jump and through the air. But yeah, a lot to really like about him. And I think with how much he won with in reserve is what you'd like.
Yes. Ponica's looking for a small stepping stone race en route to the Ballymore. He went up to almost 3 miles at Bangor with Dem, and he's not...
I was going to say that. I think he went to Bangor one day. I was in Navan watching him. Christian Williams rode him.
Yeah. But he's not doing that. He's sticking around the 2.5 mile or else he's going straight to the Ballymore. Right. Bob Ollinger. How about him? We might be seeing him this weekend. What do you think he's seen so far?
I've been, look, obviously run into Fernie Hollow in a slowly run race in Goran Park, but lined up in Navan, no pace, no one wanted to make the run, and you can see the starter starts the race, gets off his rostrum, and still no one has jumped off, so he had to make the run, and he was messy at the first, but he set his own pace, and it was no superstar race. Quickened up going to the second last, where he was okay, was again jumped awkwardly at the last, but he's going much quicker and he has the race won, and I don't think Rachel Blackmore really asked him any questions, but when he goes by the line, and you look back at the rest of the field, how strung out they are. A furlong and a half or 2 furlongs they're strung out, yet she can't pull him up. He goes by the stands in Navan, round the bend, and that's uphill all the way to the hurdle by the stands. That really impressed me. I rode a lot of winners in Navan, and very few horses went to the hurdle past the stands to pull up.
Yeah, I think he's quite a deceptive horse, actually, and his profile looks very solid to me. What did you make of Gentleman's Game winning at Cork? He was up against Jujumi of Willie Mullins's, and the two of them pulled quite clear. In the early stage, Gentleman's Game's quite happy and settles quite well. Jujumi's pulling really hard, and then the two of them go quite a long way clear.
Yeah, they do, and Jujumi was maybe not going to win. No, she wasn't. She was going to get beaten when she fell at the last and Thurless, but it was still going to be a good run. And Gentleman's Game, like, he can't have been in Mouse Morris's that long. I think he was sold in early November from Dunica Doyle's, and I was really taken by the performance. If you look at it turning in, how far in front they are, and he, without being overly strongly ridden, just extends away and wins really impressively. My slight worry would be for Gentleman's Game is that he's come from a point-to-point yard into a racing yard. How long has he been in training? Change in the middle of the season. How long can he keep improving for? Or will he just, I'm not say fall apart, but will too many races be too much for him this season?
Yeah, I take that point. Brian Aitchison, I think, has said that they're going to take their time with him. So this might not be a horse for Cheltenham, but I think it's a...
Definitely one for the future.
Yeah, absolutely, exactly. Yeah. And read by Dave Fetter from Yorton Farm and also Maggie Luck, Nick Luck's mum. responsible for Brave Man's Game. Sorry, Gentleman's Game. Let's talk about Gaillard du Mesnil. I really like this performance at Leopardstown. It looked like it was a strongly run race. He was up there prominently initially, but there were lots of horses that potentially wanted to go to the pace. So he's happy to be settled on the inside in mid-division. And he just moved through the race really well. I really liked how powerful he was from two out and on the home turn.
It was a really good performance, Lydia. But the second was Mr. Incredible of Henry's. That was 10-1-ish. The third was Magic Days of Henry's, was 18-1. Both had only run in point of points. Neither seemed overly strongly fancied in the betting. Bold Getaway was fourth of Gordon Elliott's at 40-1. You just wonder about the second, third and fourth horses. They could all be really nice horses, but they weren't overly fancied on the day. Great Bear was fifth. He'd finished second to Magic Tricks. He may or may not have stared. And Indigo Breeze bombed out. So I would like to see Gaillard du Mesnil again. And you probably will see him at the Dublin Racing Festival or somewhere like that. But I'd like to see him do it in a better race because he was no match for Hawley McAponey and Punchestown.
Yeah, might he not have been quite fit enough there? Because he'd seem to make a mistake at the last and then blow up.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, how fit was Hawley McAponey? We don't know either. He was fancy without being overly fancied in Punchestown. So, and he bombed out in Navan. So, look, time will tell, but I would want to see him do it again.
So now it's the staying novice hurdlers, and I've got to admit, Ruby, I'm struggling. I'm struggling here. I've had to find one to put up, and so I've been relying very heavily on you for this section. Let's have a look at the Albert Bartlett anti-post betting, and you want to highlight Fakiera running against Fire Attack at Navan in November.
Yeah, Gordon Elliott, Keith Donoghue, anybody associated with Gordon's Yard have been saying Fakiera will be a better horse when he steps up and trip, and we picked him up here winning Navan in November, and he looks readily outpaced between the last two hurdles. Fire Attack has gone to the lead. He, of course, led Appreciator for a long way in Leopardstown, but when Fakiera meets the rising ground, he runs him down really impressively, and you're thinking, yeah, he steps up and trip, he'd be one to follow. He goes back then to the Grade 2 in Navan in late December, where Ashdale Bob scoots away from him at the second last. But Fakiera only looks like finishing fifth on this occasion. Yet again, he stays on and gets back past Gavin Cromwell's, can't think of the horse's name, to finish second. But is his stamina? He shows real stamina on that occasion. And Ashdale Bob was one we didn't include in the 2.5 milers. We put him in here instead. But Ashdale Bob will be in the Dollars Hotel hurdling Nace on Sunday, you know, and he's second favourite anti-post behind Bob Ollinger with Blue Lord in third place. Ashdale Bob looks a different horse this season, won really well on debut, backed it up by winning the Grade 2 in Navan, and he's a runner too. And I think that Lawler's Hotel in hurdling Nace on Sunday will put definite shape on the 2.5 milers in Ireland.
Yeah, we'll have a look more closely at that race in a moment. But first, I want to talk about Statler, that horse that I suggested to Patrick Mullins earlier in the show. What did you make of his run at Leopardstown?
Yeah, he's always looked a stayer. Got beaten on his first start. I think he was in a really good position in Leopardstown all the way. Paul rode him. He was able to travel and he jumped well, jumped the fourth. But then he gets to the fourth last. He's still in a good position. The runner-up was Glens of Antrim and the JP McManus colours. She didn't jump particularly well, and they jumped the second last, which would have been the last. She quickens up to follow him, but he just outstays her. And the further he's going, the more impressive he is. He looked that way in his bumpers, like he wanted to always be going further. He looked that way on debut and Nace, and I think stepping up again from here would suit him.
Okay, and the final one that we're going to discuss in this section is Farouk Dalen for his Limerick performance.
Yeah, he's been a bit in and out. Won really impressively over 2.6 and Down Royal on his debut. Then got well beaten in Navan over 2.5. But he went to Limerick at Christmas to the race at Penn Hill. Fernie Fury Road, Fahim won it. But it was a real slog. But he raced on the pace in Limerick all the way. Now, the eventual second comes from well off the pace. Was never really involved in the race. But Farouk Dalen looks like he has bags of stamina. He was a decent enough bumper horse. And yeah, he's definitely one that's going to stay. And as we know in the Albert Bartlett, you have to stay.
You do. And the other thing you very much need tends to be a lot of experience. You know, the lightly raced horses are going to have to be a very, very good. We're talking like about future RSA or future Gold Cup hopes to be able to be featuring off a very lack of experience in the Albert Bartlett.
Yeah.
More often, you have a horse that's got a lot of experience.
It is. I guess that was Manila Indo, and he only came on the equation later in the season. So, yeah, you could be surprised. There could be a 3-mile handicapper that we haven't spotted that could end up featuring in this race. It can be a really taxing contest.
Absolutely. It's Penn Hill that you mentioned. He had a huge number of runs on the flat and was a seasoned racer.
Yeah, he was, and there's loads of other winners like that. Wichita Lineman had plenty of wins when he runs when he won it as well. It can be a race that it pays to have experience in.
So our final section on the novices is about the mares novice hurdlers. And again, we're framing it around the betting for the Daylesford mares novice hurdler at Cheltenham, known as the Dawn Run. It's over 2 mile 1, so quite a stamina test on the new course. And really important news there from Patrick earlier in that the favourite or second favourite on most books, She Wears It Well, is very unlikely to make the Cheltenham Festival. There have been rumours sort of knocking around about this. It's good to hear it from Patrick, exactly what's going on, Ruby.
Yeah, very unlikely, Lydia. But it's Willie that's trainer and he won't have given up just yet. But very unlikely, I'd say, is the way to put it. But there's other horses in the yard, Willie. Willie has a couple of more.
Yes, he has. And Norman Mentz has asked, is Gauloise the number one Atlas Sutton for the Mayor's Novice Hurdle? Now, it was a question that I put to Patrick. He thought that that would probably be fair to say. Do you think it is?
It could be, and Patrick mentioned Finest Evermore. Hookup obviously was beaten at Fairy House at the weekend. That was over 2-2 and a bit, and maybe the mistake at the last and the extra couple of furlongs didn't suit her, but Galois has done nothing wrong, but I think she has to improve a little bit, and I think Hookup does too, because I was really, really impressed with Royal Kahala.
Talk me through that. What did you like about that performance?
I love the way she travelled in Fairy House, and there was three big runners in the race. You had Royal Kahala, Del Vino and Hookup, who was obviously favourite, and they were pretty closely together throughout the race. But anyway, after the fourth last, they're still all together, the three main ones, but at the home turn, Del Vino was the first one to crack and starting to struggle. Hookup moved up on the outside, jumped to the front of the second last and moved over. So Kevin Sexton had to wait on Royal Kahala and come out around Hookup. Now, Hookup made a mistake at the last, but Royal Kahala got to her and went by her so easily and won so cozily. And I do think with the Mayor's Novice Hurdle being on the new course in Cheltenham, it does require quite a bit of stamina. And I've been really taken with Royal Kahala on both her stats.
Well, we're talking about Mayor's Novices. I wanted to bring in Riviere de Tell, who won at Punchestown, and Gordon Elliott trains her. She's really keen in the early part of the race. You can see that all the way until about the third, she's still pulling hard. And at the end of the back straight, I think Jack Kennedy, wasn't it, decides that he's just going to go on. She does make one mistake, but the bit that I was really impressed with was when the other mares come up to her two out and she just moves away really, really smoothly. She looks pretty smart. She's only four, though.
She's only four, and I'm not certain of a four-year-old winner of the race, and I don't even know how many four-year-olds have tried, so that could be a useless stat. But she was impressive. The fact that she's in the same colours as Zana here would possibly suggest that the options will be split. Zana here in the Triumph, Riviera de Tell then in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. She was impressive. Racing that keenly, though, and that's on a snow-covered Punchestown. You'd think with something else to look at, a bit more spooky, it might help them to slow down, but it didn't. She jumped really well bar one mistake and galloped away strongly to win. Again, I'd like to see a bit more, and I just think that 2-1 on the new course would be hard for four-year-olds against older horses.
I take that point. You mentioned there's the possibility of them being split up. If they both get to March and they're both good enough to be considered that level, how do you split the two up?
Of course you do. Absolutely.
But there are two ways of doing it, though, aren't there? And John McCullen has said, in the novice division, after Riviere de Tell winning in great style at Punchestown on New Year's Eve, could it be possible that the same owned Zana here runs in the Supreme against the older horses? I can't remember the last four-year-old to win. Was it All Aloir? Of course, John, you are correct. It was All Aloir, although Binocular was second to Captain Seabee in 2008 as well, when he was a four-year-old. So there are two ways of splitting them up.
Fakir Dudari, he tried as well, didn't he?
Yep.
Look, it's an option, but when Zana here is clearly or looks clearly the best juvenile, why do you take him out of the division where he's most likely to win to try and win something else? No, wouldn't be my way of doing business. I would take my chance with Riviera de Tell in the Mares.
You tell them, Ruby, absolutely. For the sake of the Antipost Road to Cheltenham column, you tell them the Triumph Hurdle is the plan for Zana here.
Anyway, each to their own way of thinking, but I would think it's madness.
So that's where we are with the novice hurdlers at this stage. And having gone through it, Ruby, what's your sense of it?
I think they are all quite open. Obviously, appreciated would be at the top of a lot of people's lists, but as Patrick Mullins said, it was a real slog in Leopardstown, and he will have to prove he's quick enough. But I think there's plenty of races to come that will shed more light on it. So just not as many jumping out as there was maybe this time last year. I don't see an Envoy Allen. Shishkin, obviously, he wasn't even that short a price favourite. I think they're really open.
Okay. Well, there's still time, as you say, plenty of water to run under the bridge. Here are the races in the UK that are yet coming up where we could see a horse push themselves forward. I'm particularly looking forward to something from maybe the Albert Bartlett River Don at Doncaster, perhaps, to announce itself in the staying division. Ditto the Prestige at Haydock Park. The Dovecot is often really pivotal. That takes place at Kempton towards the end of February. How about in Ireland, Ruby?
Yeah, there's plenty in Ireland too. Obviously, the Lawler's Hotel this weekend, and one horse we didn't mention was Blue Lord. I mean, it looks Bob Ollinger, Ashtail Bob, and Blue Lord being the third one. He won in Punchestown a few runs back and quickened up really well from out from behind horses off the home turn to go and challenge the ones in front to win that day. So he's a horse definitely going forward. You also have the Skybet Moscow Flyer in Punchestown, the Solarina in Fairy House from Mayors, which is a lot of the mares. Willie Mullins has won that mares. Novice and Cheltenham with have gone to the Sol Arena. And then you have the Dublin Racing Festival and the Chanel Farm in particular, the 2 mile novice hurdle there. Yeah. Those tend to point what's the best supreme horse in Ireland.
So lots to look forward to between now and March, April or May, and lots for us to discuss in the weeks coming up. Now we're going to discuss your social media questions. And Bradley Pizziura asks, have the three graded novice hurdle winners at a Cheltenham Festival ever gone on to win the three novice chases the year after? And so he's thinking about Shishkin, Envoy Allen and Monkfish. I can tell you the answer is no, but the Albert Bartlett has only been going for 15 years and the Marsh for 10 years.
And generally, either the Supreme or Ballymore winner, one or the other, tends to stay over hurdles.
George H has also been in touch. He is the now. What is he? He's the 28,568,901st of the Georges, and he asks, "What's yourself and Ruby's thoughts on the Big Getaway? Was really impressed with him at Leopardstown. Jumped super all the way. I think looks a real galloper to me." He says, "Will he go to the National Hunt Chase, or will he take on Monkfish in the RSA?"
He ran into Ballymore, I think, last year. It was third to Envoy Allen. And I would say the jury is quite open in Clough Sutton about the Big Getaway. Is he a 2 miler, a 2.5 miler, a 3 miler, a 4 miler? I'd say no one is quite too sure.
You seem a bit nonplussed by him, I'm getting, you know.
I like consistency. He flopped on his debut. He won on his second start. He got beaten in a couple of bumpers. Patrick was always saying, I should have rode him this way, that way, the other way. I always tend to find with the best horses, it never mattered what way you rode them. They just won.
Too many excuses. I'll take the note to self about consistency. I'll bear that in mind for the rest of this series. We also have Cormac Flanagan, who's got in touch to say, thoughts on sticking the blinkers on Santini and making the running? Might be easier said than done, given he's not the pace of a couple of other horses who might want to go forward in the Gold Cup. But surely making as much use of him as possible would increase his chances. Cormac, Ruby, clearly doesn't watch the show very closely, does he? Because we've discussed that point earlier.
We did.
Yeah. So, Cormac, what are we just going to say, Cormac, go back and watch the previous show?
You can answer politely, Lydia.
Yeah, go back and watch the previous show, Cormac. Yeah, I think it was show two. You know, do the legwork. Dave Armstrong has been in touch and he said, your kill, hashtag Road to Cheltenham, hashtag Gold Cup. Ruby Walsh, I always said he'd win one.
I said I thought he was a Gold Cup horse one time, but that was many moons ago, Dave.
They've entered him. What do you think?
Yeah, look, obviously we saw him in the rehearsal. Do I think he'll win a Gold Cup now? No.
It's great to see him back, though. I'm really pleased.
Yeah, it is, and he'll be an interesting angle to the Gold Cup. Himself and Ada River will be making sure Frodon probably doesn't get it his own way in front.
If, as long as he doesn't end up on the inside of the track, that is.
Who, Yorkhill?
Yeah.
No, there's a running rail all the way around the inside of the new course in Cheltenham. That's why you ran in the marsh, Lydia.
Yes, of course. You mentioned that earlier in the show. I need
to do the legwork, Lydia. Do the legwork.
I banged my desk so hard that the light switched off. That's brilliant. Oh, live TV, everybody. Right, that's the end of that section. So we've talked about the Lawlers of Nace and how that might impact on the novice hurdle division in the coming weeks. There are three other races that we've picked out from this weekend that might have an impact in their different divisions as well. And we've got the Dipper Novices Chase that would have been run at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. It's been rearranged to Wincanton this Saturday. And I am really looking forward to Protectorat running in this, Ruby.
Yeah, I was impressed with him in Cheltenham as well, Lydia. He's obviously a forward-going horse and he wears a hood, but if you watched him in Cheltenham, he bucked out. He jumped the first really well. He attacked the second. And if you watch him, how fast he's going away from the fifth fence. He likes to get on with things. But Harry wasn't afraid to ride him with conviction down the hill to the third last when Harry Cobden came to join Harry Skelton. Harry Skelton sent Protectorat. And away he went, met the rising ground, jumped the last two really well, but he quickened again halfway up the running. So stamina doesn't look to be an issue for him. He'll definitely suit Wincanton, but I think he's a horse that they might go a little bit further with in time.
Well, I was wondering that too, because obviously they've got the Quarto Star winner, Shamblou, and they've earmarked the Marsh Novices Chase for that horse. Might this horse be heading for the artist formerly known as the RSA Insurance Chase?
I think he could end up that way. We'll find out a bit more on Saturday when the Dipper is over, but he did look to me like a horse that could go further.
And then there's Messier de Zobeau, who we've already seen this season and performing pretty well.
Yeah, and off the back of a long layoff, a shrewd enough piece of placing into a novice handicap chase. Daryl Jacob set out to take his time on him, but by the time he jumped the second fence, he was almost already trying to jump his way closer to the pace. He was just going so easy against the opposition on that occasion. He jumped to the front at the 11th, confirmed it at the 12th. He made a mistake at the second last, but that was a novice handicap and he was just too good for them. He always found it too easy. There is the bounce factor, whatever the bounce is, but who knows? I think Protectorat style of running could definitely bring about improvement in Mr. De Zobeau.
I don't know how you define the bounce factor. It's a massive performance, isn't it? Up with your very best form or eclipsing your very best form, coming back after a long absence. I don't know whether it applies in this case.
I just think it's a great excuse.
Okay. Then we have the Selvagnaco Conti Chase at Kempton, and Imperial Aura, who's second favourite for the Ryanair, is up against the likes of Clondor Castle, Riders on the Storm, Master Tommy Tucker. Do you see anything to fear there?
Look, Mr. Master Tommy Tucker was definitely disappointing in the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. I think Clondor Castle's run in the Old Roan, where he was behind Nuts well, that probably reads reasonably well. But if Imperial Aura is going to justify his position in the market as second favourite for the Ryanair, I think he has to beat this opposition.
I don't think Riders on the Storm likes Cheltenham, so I don't think his Schlurren is particularly relevant to Kempton. I think he'll be a better horse at Kempton. And I thought that Clondor Castle still shaped as though in form when we saw him at Cheltenham.
That Riders on the Storm must have done something on the clock that impressed you somewhere, did it?
you just think I'm a clock merchant, do you?
You definitely get swayed by it. So he's obviously clocked a fair time or performance somewhere, because you keep harping back to him. See, I rest my case, Your Honour.
Right, and the final race that we're going to talk about is the Coral Finale Juvenile Hurdle. It's being rescheduled, some would say typically, for this weekend at Chepstow. Now, the frost sheets are down. This morning, there was a report that there was no frost in the ground, but there will be an inspection tomorrow at 2:30 at Chepstow to try and ensure that the race can go ahead. We talked about Nassalam before, Ruby. This is a horse that's clocked up two wide margin successes at Fontwell. He looks to be very good. He's up against Hugri, who's having his first run for Paul Nicholls. He is a French recruit. And then we've got some others that we know a little bit more about. Elm Valley and Igrisil, for example, teamed up against each other at Sandown.
Yeah, they were first and third in Sandown. Fergal O'Brien's Elm Valley and Yggdrasil for
Nick Williams.
I kind of agree with you. Yggdrasil could be the one with more potential for improvement and could be a better horse down the line. But from what I've watched back of Nassalam, I would say both are going to have to go a bit to keep up with him.
And ditto for Adagio. He wasn't in the original lineup for the finale and it's ended up, I think, being a better race for being postponed. What do you think of him?
Yeah, his Cheltenham performance was good. But he has to improve. And obviously the unknown one is Paul Nicholls, is Hogree. I'm not an expert on French form and what he produces would be interesting to see. But they obviously have a couple of decent juveniles in Ditchie. Yes. So they have a line. They should have a line on what they have.
Yeah, they've got Montmirail, who we've discussed before, and also the Westbury winner, Holder Day something or other.
They have a couple on the same, so they'll have a handle on where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, that Weatherby win is worth looking up. Ran on the 27th of December. The names just escape me at this moment. So those are the key races that we are looking forward to this weekend. That brings us to the end of Road to Cheltenham this week. If you want to learn more, head to the column. That's racingtv.com/Road to Cheltenham. You can catch up with all the columns there and all the past episodes of this show. But for this week, it's goodbye, Ruby. It's goodbye from Ruby.
Thanks, Lydia. Just remember, there's a running rail round the inside the new course in Cheltenham over fences.
A whole 7 days to get you back. Bye.
If your horse is a non-runner, you can get money back on all Cheltenham Festival races. Paddy Power.